A reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting, but the Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of him, of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. A reading from John chapter 6. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. O Lord, have mercy on us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As we begin this series on the spiritual contemplation of Christ's suffering, we hear these words recorded for us by the Holy Spirit for St. Paul to write, which teach to you about the obedience of Christ for your righteousness. Now, what God teaches you here is vitally important for your salvation. Without the obedience of Jesus, you don't have salvation. Jesus did the will of the Father. He fulfilled what sinful man is unable to do. Man can't fulfill the law to save himself. God's law demands perfection, and man is a sinner. The fact that Jesus fulfilled the law is good, even as God's law is good, and even as God himself is good. Sinful man, however, is disobedient, turned against what is good. From the time of his conception in his mother's womb, he does not fear, love, and trust in God. He's turned against the Lord and is disobedient against the Lord's word. Disobedience started with Adam and Eve. It's been passed down to all. This past Sunday, the Old Testament reading recounted the fall into sin, where Adam and Eve actively and really disobeyed God's word and sinned against the Lord who created them and gave them life. But you see, you know this and experience it with others around you and even within your own self. You don't have to teach disobedience to people. It comes naturally since the fall into sin. Think about how easily children disobey parents. Consider how at times we can't stand it when someone in authority tells us what to do. We want to think we can do it our own way according to our own liking. Think about God's word, specifically his law, when it confronts you and you don't want it to govern your life, especially when it calls you out to repent of a sin that perhaps you really love and want to live in. Man in his sinful nature does not willingly obey God. He can't prior to his conversion, and after he has been born anew by water and the word, he still has that old sinful man that seeks to disobey God and all that he teaches. So as you consider tonight the obedience of Christ, you consider what your Lord did for you. God shows you that out of his abundant grace and mercy, he was faithful. Jesus said in John 6, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now think about that for a second. That's quite something what the Lord says about what he came to do and what he has done. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. We sang that beautifully in the hymn we just sang a few minutes ago. We'll sing it again later. Jesus came to fulfill the law, the prophets, the word of God. The Son came to do the will of the Father, even as he is the Son of God. And this is all out of love for you as well. So the Father sent the Son to accomplish your salvation, and he was obedient to the Father. He is the obedient Son. Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, was obedient. And if you remember in confirmation class, we talk about his passive obedience and his active obedience to the Father. This is your righteousness. And so even as we think about the suffering of Jesus, we oftentimes will emphasize that, and rightfully so, but this suffering can't be separated from who he is and what he does and his whole person as the Son of God for you. It's important that Jesus actively fulfilled God's law. It is important that he actively followed the will of the Father, because God is good, his law is good, and we are the ones who have disobeyed and deserve death. Jesus, though, is the Son who loves the Father and does his will. And likewise, as Jesus bore your sin and suffered God's wrath and just punishment for your sin, he did so as the spotless Lamb of God. He is the perfect sacrifice, he who knew no sin. He is the one who is obedient unto death, bearing your sin, even at death upon the cross. So the obedience of Jesus and his whole person, his whole obedience then, what he has done, what he has suffered, what he has accomplished, is now credited to you as righteousness. But without that obedience of Jesus, you wouldn't have any righteousness. You have to have what Jesus has done in order to be justified before God. So as we think about these things, and then you think about who you are as a baptized child of God, what God has done for you in those waters, every time your sin is forgiven, every time you take into your mouths the body and blood of Jesus, you are given his righteousness. And it's because of the obedience of Jesus, both in his active fulfillment and his passive bearing your sin and suffering, that you have what God says you have, and God gives you what he gives you. That opening hymn, "All Mankind Fell in Adam's Fall," beautifully proclaims the obedience of Christ for your righteousness. Good hymns do that. They preach to you who you are and what Christ has done for you. Listen again to stanzas 4 and 5 of what we sang a few minutes ago. But Christ, the second Adam, came to bear our sin and woe and shame, to be our life, our light, our way, our only hope, our only stay. As by one man all mankind fell, and born in sin was doomed to hell, so by one man who took our place, we all were justified by grace. So this is good, it is true, and how beautiful it is to behold your Lord, Jesus. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since then we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Dear people of God, you rejoice in Jesus, who has reconciled you to the Father. You see that as we meditate upon all of these things of our Lord's passion this Lent, and each and every time we hear his word and receive his gifts. Baptized into Christ, you are covered with his righteousness and your life is hidden with him. And even now you are a new person as a Christian who also now desires to hear and do the will of God in your life as his son or his daughter. You listen to your God and you seek to conform your life to your Lord's will. The new obedience of the Christian of you is a fruit of your faith. It's God's will for your life, and it pleases him, and it is good. Conforming your life to Christ, the obedient one, is good. And likewise, you know that just as Jesus came and did the will of his Father to accomplish your salvation, you also know God's will for you now and in the future, as it all rests upon the work of Jesus accomplished. Again, Jesus said in that reading from John 6, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. So take comfort and be confident in your Lord's promises to you tonight. God's will is that you will be raised up on the last day, just as Jesus is risen from the dead. As you go through this life, that's the confidence you have baptized into Christ. Your Lord was obedient and faithful, even unto death upon the cross, and he still is faithful to you. So when you face times of trial, times of suffering, when you face illness, when you're about to undergo surgery, whatever the case may be, your Lord lays before your eyes that he has redeemed you, that he will preserve you, that even raising you from the dead and giving you eternal life is what he wills. That's his will for you, and he doesn't leave it this unclear. That's what God wants, and that's what he will do for you. So, dear people of God, cling to your Lord and know all that God has done for you in Christ and belongs to you as his people. Rejoice in the obedience of Christ for your righteousness. Behold your Lord Jesus, see his life, see his death, see his resurrection. It's all for you, now and forever. Amen.